In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Many that be first shall be last, and many that are last shall be first in the kingdom of God. To be first in importance in the world, and to pursue a life where we are devoted to the things of the world, gives us a place in the church, but it's not a place of the first rank. Our place is the place of Martha, who serves so that others may eat along with Christ. When Martha and Mary were visited by our Lord, Martha took care of all of the things that were necessary to be done in order that there be that gathering and that feast and the welcoming of Christ by all of the people who had come there, along with herself and her sister Mary and their brother Lazarus. There were a lot of things that needed to be done in order for that event to take place, and all of them were important things that needed to be done. But there was one central thing, more important than anything else, and that was to be close to God through Christ, to sit at the feet of Jesus, and to forget about the things of the world. And it was because of Martha's work and labor that it was possible for Mary to sit at the feet of Christ. She made a place so that Jesus could come, and Mary was able to sit at the feet of Jesus. And so she has her importance, but it's not a place of the first rank. All of us here are probably Marthas more than anything else. But it does not make us worldly people when it comes to our ultimate commitment. Our ultimate commitment, our ultimate value is that one thing of importance that Mary spends all of her time and effort at, forgetting the things of the world utterly. Jesus says, everyone who has abandoned houses and lands and wives and husbands and children for his name's sake will be blessed. There is an outward and an inward way to abandon those things. Few are able to abandon all of those things in an outward way. There are men and women in the church who follow that path. And their spiritual struggle, we believe, is also the same as our spiritual struggle. Their real spiritual struggle isn't outward, because they've eliminated all of the outward things that could cling to them. Their spiritual struggle is inward, and our spiritual struggle is inward too. But our spiritual struggle takes place in the world. We're reading a wonderful book on Wednesday evenings by Daniel Opperwall about how to apply the spiritual life of the desert to our own lives in the world. And this is one of the principles that we've been taught, that if our life is going to primarily be a life of giving out of the abundance of the things that we gather because of our life in the world, because if we live our life in the world and we are able to gather the things of the world, then we are in a position to give of those things and, as Martha is doing, make a place for others to come. It's our place to make it possible for people to have a place to come so that they can sit at the feet of Christ. It is our place to make it possible for the divine liturgy to be celebrated and communion with God offered and served, and the sacrament of confession to be offered so that people can come and lay down their sins, repent of a primary commitment to the world, and prepare to come to the chalice and receive the body and blood of Christ, and to unite themselves to God. A lot of things are necessary in order for that to happen. There has to be a place for it to happen, a building. There has to be all of the things that are part of the divine liturgy that become part of the divine liturgy. The physical things that enable us to participate physically in the divine liturgy ourselves, enable us to offer ourselves, because that's what we do at the divine liturgy. We come and in procession in the great entrance, when the paten with the blessed bread and the chalice with the blessed wine are brought in, it is we who are being brought in. It is we who are offering up our lives to God so that we can receive them back again as communion with God, the body and blood of Christ. In order for those things to take place, it's necessary that there be a priest and that the priest be supported. It's all of the Marthas who make that possible. Those are vital and important things. There is always Martha's temptation, though, to put her own work first, before the part of Mary, and to believe that we build a church and have a priest and do the liturgy in some way that shows that somehow we have accomplished something. We have our church, not a place for those who want to, including ourselves, come and unite themselves to God, not so that there be a place like that, so that there be an entranceway into the kingdom of God, an open door for people to come, to go through, that isn't anywhere else, because no one else offers this, you see. The fullness of the Orthodox Christian Church has kept the door open so that people can enter through. So that there is a place for us to abandon the world and pass through into the presence of all of the saints that we celebrate today. Martha's part is vital, but her temptation is to begin to think continually in worldly terms, as though those who accomplish these things and make them possible, the priest, the parish council, the choir, the people who come, that we have an importance of our own because we have done this thing. And the fact of the matter is that as Marthas, we are the least of all in the kingdom of God. We have a very small mission here in Toccoa, Georgia. It is like a station of the church in this place. Our mission is to keep the doors open and to keep the faith so that when people come and they are looking for that opening into the kingdom of God, they can pass through. There are no others. There's no one else that even says that that is possible. Everyone else says it's impossible. All we can do is accept salvation from God. We can't participate in our own salvation. Our lives in this world are essentially meaningless. We say our lives in this world are made meaningful by Christ's death on the cross, that he destroyed death on the cross and made it so that all of our lives and all of our struggles with all of our shortcomings and our sins are meaningful, because our sins can be overcome, because they have been overcome. The race has been won. St. Paul says that Jesus, the Christ, is the finisher of our race. So long as we continue in the race, and we can think of all of those throngs of people in a great race in a Colosseum, a spiritual race. And up ahead are those who have devoted their lives to spiritual effort to the point that they have become the spiritual equivalent of great athletes, saints of the desert who have destroyed their passions, who have no desire but to know God. They are like Mary. We put their likenesses, their icons on our walls, and we long to be closer to the place in the race that they are, closer to Christ, more like him. We are racing toward a conclusion that he has already accomplished. We can't lose so long as we don't just drop out and turn around back toward the world and don't get up again when we stumble and continue. So long as we don't do that, we're still in the race. So Martha is in the race. She is carrying the water for the star athletes. She is doing all of the things that need to be necessary. All those who keep things up, make it possible for that race to continue. Keep the doors of the church open so that that race can be recognized as existing. A lot of people don't even know that race is going on. They think it's some race of their own, where they themselves are trying to become more. Some of them are even Christians. Some of them are even Orthodox. Some of them read monastic literature, looking for tips as to how to become more perfect. Not recognizing that we who live in the world and are devoted almost 24/7, 24/6, 24/5, 24/5.5 to the world and the values and the ways of the world accumulating, that we are Marthas, not Marys. We need to know what the end of the race is. Otherwise, how could we be in the race? Martha needs to know that she is there to serve, that Mary's part won't be taken away from her. Jesus won't act as though the way of the world is the way of the kingdom of God. But so long as Mary is doing her work in support and participation herself inwardly, in the work of uniting ourselves to Christ by fighting against our vices and freeing the life of our virtues, the virtues of Christ, so that they can sustain us, so long as we're fighting that struggle on a daily basis, as we do the work, you see, because doing the work is frustrating, it is difficult, it's tempting to want to blame others for not helping us. Why am I suffering and others have it easy? Doing the work involves spiritual struggle. Any amateur athlete knows that the real struggle is within. It's not just a physical accomplishment to do the physical work in the world that's necessary for us to do, being like Martha. It's important for us to understand the overall context of this spiritual effort and this spiritual struggle that we engage in on a daily basis. It's important for us to have some sense that it isn't like the struggle of those who are struggling simply for worldly success, because this race is different from a race that is run for fame, for recognition, for the gold of this world. This race is run in order to sit at the right hand of God with Christ, to be close to the one who is perfect and holy, to be made perfect and holy ourselves because we love him. That is the reward of the race, the fulfillment of all of our life, the fulfillment of every ability and capacity that we have as having been a means to the winning of that race. Not that we ourselves win the race, but we win by participating in Christ's having destroyed the enemy to life. We celebrate all of the saints today. When we think about the saints of the Old Testament, we can easily become confused because we think about things from a worldly point of view. We think, well, there was Adam and Eve, and then there were the patriarchs that came later, and then the prophets. It's a history. We can verify that history. We can go to the Middle East, and we can find the remains of those civilizations and figure out what date things actually started, how old the world is, according to the Bible. And we're thinking entirely in worldly historical terms. But those are terms of the fallen world. The cross of Christ stands at the center of time and eternity. And it affects all things in either direction. Back from the center, which is the Christ and the accomplishment that Christ made on that cross, destroying the power of death, arising from the dead, and bringing life back into the world, the life of God himself that we have available to us to live. That change in the world to where death no longer rules extends immediately like a shockwave back in time and to the end of time, so that all things are brought into the meaning of the cross and the destruction of the power of death by his sacrifice and his victory. And our participation is by our race during the course of our lives to sit at the right hand of God, where he sits, and from where he sent the Holy Spirit on Pentecost. Pentecost and this day, the Day of All Saints, very close this year. Last week was Pentecost. Tomorrow we start the 3-day Apostles' Fast, remembering Saints Peter and Paul, the leader of the apostles, who, like Christ, trampled down death by their own death. This trampling down of death by Christ in our own lives too reaches from the center that is the cross back to the beginning of our life and forward to the end of our life. We are no longer bound by our own time of when we were born, who our parents were, what we went through, all the bad things that happened to us. It made us to be a certain kind of way, and now we are that way, and we are struggling with that way, trying to read the lives of the saints and a spiritual advice to change all of the things that have happened before. The Christian who takes up the cross of Christ takes up this power that overcomes the power of death. And all of the influence of death and negative and bad things that have happened to us before, and all of the things that will happen to us in the future, fall down before the power of that cross. We participate in this power of the cross by running our race, and each time we are tempted to betray Christ and to affirm ourselves in some kind of prideful, world-loving way, we choose against that world-loving way. We choose on behalf of Christ. We don't betray him or his cross, but we follow him instead. And if we don't, then we repent of it, and then the victory is still ours. That's how we struggle to continue to run the race along with all of the others. And we may not be anywhere near the front of the race, but so long as we haven't dropped out, we're still running. We're still participating. We're each one of us necessary. When someone dies spiritually by turning firmly toward the world and turning their back toward Christ and losing their faith, all of the saints mourn because one of us has been lost. We are among all saints. That includes us, maybe. Unless we stop, unless we turn around, unless we fail to get up when we stumble. And it applies to us, Marthas, as much as those Marys that are far ahead at the head of the pack. In our spiritual struggle to give to others, to give to the church, to make it possible for others to have a place to come so that they can pass through this entrance into the kingdom of God, we are tempted constantly to rely on the world, to follow those who believe in power, who believe in force, who believe in hatred. That's a constant temptation for Christians. But each time we are able to reject those temptations, reject that temptation to, having stumbled, simply walk off of the field, not participate in the human race, because there is no other way to be a member of the human race than to struggle to participate in the fullness of the life of Christ that he has given to us. All of us are meant to run with the saints. Run a race that we know has already been won by the one who has made this race possible for us in the first place. Our Lord and God and Savior, Jesus Christ. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.